Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Tomatoes.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Forgive me.
That was a spirited football game. Absolutely had a playoff atmosphere.
To the balls, and that there was obviously an issue with the balls.
I don't think anybody knew there was an issue with the balls.
To me, those balls are perfect. I can only speak for myself. I don't want anyone touching the balls, rubbing the balls. To me, those balls are perfect. Some guys like them round, and some guys like them thin. Some guys like old, old, new balls. They're all different, so you gotta feel them, and you gotta squeeze them. To me, those balls are all perfect. I choose the balls that I want. You know, I grip it, I grab it, I feel the lace, I feel the leather. I wouldn't want anyone touching the balls. I would zip those things up and lock them away. Some days, one ball may feel good, the next day it may not. I want to be very familiar with the equipment that I'm using. This is an ISIS. No one's dying, but this is a very important thing. Because to me, those balls are perfect. I can only speak for myself. I don't want anyone touching the balls, rubbing the balls. To me, those balls are perfect. Some guys like them round, and some guys like them thin. Some guys like old balls, new balls. They're all different, so you gotta feel them, and you gotta squeeze them. To me, those balls are all perfect. You gotta feel them. You gotta squeeze them. To me, those balls are all perfect. You gotta feel them. You gotta squeeze them. To me, those balls are all perfect. You know, I grip it. I grab it. I grab it. I grip it. To me, those balls are all perfect. Zip those things up. Zip those up. And lock them away. To me, those balls are all perfect.
Like I said, I had no... Yeah.
That ain't five of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. 6:05. Joe Murray to the left, just sitting there, filling in once again for Mr. Wallach. And we'll get into it later on in the show in heavy detail, but did you get to watch any of the Nick Saban, Bill Belichick HBO special yesterday?
Yeah, watched the whole thing.
Okay, first of all, there was part of me, like before it started, that I have to be honest, I wasn't into it. I didn't want to watch it. I was just so beaten down. I'm like, man, I hate Nick Saban. And Belichick, you know, we listen to him every day, and I'm like, this is going to be an absolute bore. I couldn't have been more wrong. I thought that show was awesome last night. And we'll get into it a little bit later on, but it took Nick Saban to make Bill Belichick look like the most likable person on television. Like, Bill came across amazing
true,
yesterday.
It really is true.
Like, I was like, man, I want to hang out with Bill Belichick. Yeah. Like, he's like, you know, in anywhere in a press conference or in life, you look at Bill Belichick and you're like, oh, what a miserable bastard. But you put him next to Nick Saban, and that dude was like, I mean, he was just Captain Chuckles yesterday. Yeah. I have to be honest, I was very impressed. Like, I walked away going, man, that dude's all right. And then I had to step away and go, okay, well, it's because he's sitting next to the devil incarnate and the most miserable human being on the planet in Nick Saban. But the pictures that they came up there, the pictures of Bill Belichick as a kid never disappoint.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see the one that I posted yesterday?
Oh, he's a hunk.
He is a teenage heartthrob. There's the one in college, too, where he's got a little bit of the skin issue.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, got the... like the shag going on. Yeah.
He had a little bit of a mullet, too, on his Wesleyan picture, I think, as well.
That's right. He had the football mullet, like, back when he was playing, which was fantastic as well. But, yeah, I mean, it was way better than I thought it was going to be. And, as I said, it took the devil, him sitting next to the devil, to make Bill Belichick seem more human than he ever has before.
Yeah, Saban seemed like a wicked hardo, though, right?
Well,
like, right, running out to the field, being the only person who ran during drills. Well, I'm the only one out here running. I'm like the 22-year-old and not the 62-year-old.
He also wouldn't shut up. I wanted to hear Bill Belichick talk more, but Saban took over. He took over a lot of the special, and you know, it was still fascinating. And I find, listen, as much as I hate Nick Saban and I root for him to fail at every turn, he's a fascinating person, and their story together, I think, is pretty wild as well. But they're such nerds. Like, they're such football nerds, and it's awesome. I mean, one of my favorite things about it is the way the show begins.
And ended.
And ended. I mean, it's like they can't talk about their personal lives. Like, the first second that they have a chance, they think the cameras are off, you think they're going to talk about their families, and immediately it's like, were you running a 4-3 on the drop-down coverage? I mean, like, immediately when they first see each other, like, they won't stop. They can't turn off the football part of their brains. And I guess that's what makes them what they are. But I do have an update on John Wallach.
No?
I do. I spoke with him yesterday. No, not dead. Borderline dead.
Well, that is Joe Murray is very upset about that.
I'm happy for a while.
No, you want him to be dead.
Sure. I'm sure that says that.
Sure.
Joe wants Wallach dead. But I saw, I talked to him yesterday for a little bit, and he's recovering. He sounds great. He sounds really good. But he said that the main thing right now is that he's gotten past the point, you know, after his surgery, because it's behind his ear, you know, the equilibrium and everything's off. He said that part is back. And it took a while. It's like you almost have to learn how to walk all over again, which is weird because, you know, first getting up out of bed and taking a step on the first couple of days, you know, I've described it before, it feels like you're in a tumbler. Your whole equilibrium is off. And then you just have to start getting up and walking. And they force you to walk different distances in order to get that all right. And that part's fine. He said, now it's a matter of
stepping on jokes.
That's part of it. That's a massive part.
He's going to learn how to do that again?
They did surgery, so they took off half of his tongue. So he couldn't speak when we were in the middle of a joke.
Can he read facial recognition so he knows when you're being a silly goose?
He still has not understood that. Not the subtleties of sarcasm.
Okay.
But he said that now it's all about just getting his energy back. You know, this is something that, you know, it completely wipes you out. It takes your energy away. So it's like he'll fall asleep at like 4, and then he'll say, all right, I need to get up. And they make him do exercises, then he'll fall asleep at 5, and then around 6. And so he's continuing to try to stay awake longer and longer and longer. He's getting his energy back. This Friday is the first day that he gets behind the wheel of a car. So if you're in Framingham, get the hell off the road.
Nate it.
I thought he was Framingham.
Natick.
Oh, okay. Well,
maybe you might want to get to know him a little bit.
So he is going to be practicing in a school parking lot at first this Friday, and then he's going to be just driving through the neighborhood.
Pitbull's going to save the day.
He's going to be doing donuts at some local school parking lot.
I don't know why he just doesn't put on Pitbull and like get it going. He likes to.
He does love the Pitbull, and he's going to do that, and that's a major step. I would think that if I was him, that would be like one of the number one thing that would make me feel normal is if I could drive a car again. So he's working.
See, I think it would be the greatest if you couldn't, and then you had some kind of disability where you had a driver.
But
I mean, there's a reason rich people have drivers, I mean, so you don't have to deal with any of that crap.
There's something awesome about the freedom of just leaving whenever you want.
If you have a driver, you can leave whenever you want.
Yeah, but I don't think he's going to afford to have a guy just sitting there.
Well,
like
no, but maybe if insurance. I mean, Francesa has one.
Julio, right?
Oh, yeah, Julio. Ex-cop.
He's got his guy right there.
Yeah, he's got Julio.
So he is working his way back. He's feeling a lot better. He wanted to make sure that I said that all the listeners who have reached out to him, thank you very much. There's been a bunch of other people in the media that have reached out to him.
Who?
He's seen all of them. I mean, a bunch of people from all the stations here in town. The Gam Man reached out to him. It was just an ampersand tweet. That was it. But it said at Ken
Griffey
Rules.
I'm questioning how many people have actually reached out
to him. A lot have. And I've seen a lot of it, too, because some people will, like when I tweeted something about an update of John Wallach, they would reply to it, and there were a decent amount of people who did that.
What, like 4 or 5?
No, a lot. There were a lot.
10?
No, tons. Like, no, I mean, when I first announced that, there were a ton of people who reached out to Wallach and were wishing
him
well. No, like a ton. I mean, I would say, you know, if 500.
Half dozen?
Yeah, these are just the ones that I'm copied on. So he's saying that more than likely he's trying to come back near the beginning of January. Yeah. So we will see.
Murray does not like that.
Well, Murray's still going to be a big part of the show. He's one of the bankroll boys.
Yeah, but he don't like that. He wants to be in that chair.
Well, he's our A1 fill-in, right?
I'm happy with that.
He's our first go-to guy, isn't he?
Oh yeah,
yeah. So
but he wants Wallach out of the picture.
Well he's working.
That's all. I could have that happen if I wanted to. But not going.
Still know some guys with pipes from back in the day.
A couple of guys.
Pipes to the kneecap.
All right, Rich. What is coming up? What happened last evening? Besides the dirty cheaters.
Well, I mean,
New England Patriots.
Where do we start? Because it's not just that. There's a lot going on with the Patriots and Tom Brady right now. We will go all in on all of it regarding the Patriots. And let's start with what we know now that we didn't know yesterday about this whole videotape scandal.
Yes. The dirty, dirty cheaters that are the New England Patriots. They can't get enough of cheating. And we will get to that in just a moment.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed is Toucher and Rich.
Five, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what occurred last evening?
All right, a lot of Patriots stuff to get to this morning. Let's start with what was the big story over the past 48 hours. Since then, we've learned a lot about the Patriots staffer who was caught filming the Bengals sidelines and the details surrounding the incident. It was a situation that left the Bengals livid, according to the Globe. Quote, "They're not getting out of this one," said one league source who was close to the Bengals. "They got caught red-handed. I mean, dead to rights. Too much of this stuff is on tape." So Jeff Howe did a really good job yesterday adding more color to how everything went down on Sunday. So as told in the statement released by the Patriots, as we saw, the team's media production wing was filming an upcoming episode of Do Your Job. That's that behind-the-scenes video blog for thepatriots.com. The episode was about a week in the life of a Patriots scout. The filming began last week with a three-person team following the scout. The team included a full-time producer and two independent contractors, which is an audio and video technician, who are locally based. So there was one full-time Patriots employee there. They were not all contractors, not that that really should matter. The crew then followed the scout to Cleveland over the weekend to document his responsibilities in the press box during the Browns-Bengals game. After interviewing the scout before the game, the production crew shot B-roll, which is video footage that airs over an interview during the game in the press box. Part of that in-game B-roll included video of the Bengals sideline. Now, by rule, as we know, NFL teams are not allowed to shoot video of coaches on the sidelines during games. So the producer decided to shoot that video because scouts spend time studying sideline activity, according to Jeff Howe, which is routine for teams and permissible by NFL rules. The producer's intent behind the B-roll was to show what the scout would be viewing during the game.
8 minutes of B-roll in a row is nonsense.
Well, once again, this is the way things were explained to Jeff Howe.
But that's complete nonsense.
All right. Well, I mean, it's questionable. He said then they caught the attention of Bengals staff members. The producer, who was wearing a Boston Bruins shirt, set up a fixed video camera near the Patriots scout. And the camera was connected to a monitor, which showed footage in real time. Now, let me just add this in. Howe just said that the Patriots scout was with them. So despite what people are saying about independent contractors not knowing what they are doing, that guy, the scout, he knows the rules, which might be the most damning thing in all of this. And that's something that was just kind of a detail thrown into this story. But they said that the camera was set up next to the Patriot scout in the booth. There's no excuse for him being there and not informing them that you can't do this. That's a guy who does know the rules. Now, Hal continues saying, quote, prior to the crew's trip to Cleveland, the team should have had a protocol in place to inform the crew of the league rules that prohibit teams from shooting the sideline video. The producer didn't recognize that rule, in part because Kraft Sports Production is granted privileged video access behind the Patriots bench during games, and the producer didn't recognize their preferred game day access was restricted solely to the Patriots bench and not to other teams. Once again, I'll add this, the scout, who knows the rules, was with them. So there's no excuse for them not knowing the rules. And anything that's trying to be thrown out there, I think you just have to dismiss. So the Bengals staff member who recognized the activity in the press box then took out a phone and shot an 8-minute video of the Patriots crew monitor before reporting to security. So he sees this guy filming it. And on the monitor, you can see what this guy's filming. And it's the Patriots sideline. So NFL security got involved and the Patriots turned over all the footage from the entire week of filming the scout, including everything from Sunday. The Bengals, they also turned over the 8-minute video they recorded of the Patriots monitor.
I just like that the film crew from the Patriots were like, oh, we'll destroy the film. Yeah, don't worry about us.
Yeah, I mean...
Destroy this.
I just think that there's a lot of things that are being spun that the more that comes out... I mean, the whole independent contractor thing was thrown there to make you think that these people had no idea, like had nothing to do with the Patriots. And then that was debunked by saying that one of the guys of the 3-member crew was a full-time employee of the Patriots.
He was the producer
of the thing. So that you can get rid of that. And then on top of that, you could say, well, maybe they weren't informed of the rules. As a matter of fact, it sounds like someone from the Patriots told Jeff that whole explanation, like, oh, he didn't realize you couldn't film here, but you could film there. And to that, I say the scout was right with them. He was next to them, according to this report. And the scout knows. If he knows anything, that's one thing he knows. He does this for a living. So Bill Belichick, according to the reports, was furious upon learning of the incident, saying he had nothing to do with it. So what is on the tape? According to another article from The Athletic, they spoke to people who have seen the tape. And as you're saying, Fred, they say it shows about 8 minutes of footage focusing on recording the Bengals sideline. It's a direct view of the sideline as players run on and off the field and coaches make signals for plays. The Athletic stated, quote, this isn't an over-the-shoulder of advanced scout who is doing his job stuff. This is shooting the sideline for an extended period of time. And there have been people who have been arguing that taping the sidelines doesn't give any sort of advantage thanks to headsets and the like.
Phony baloney.
However, Jeff Howe tweeted this as well. He said, I asked an NFL coach who I can confidently say has no axe to grind against the Patriots. The coach said there's a competitive advantage to gain for teams that still signal coverages and substitutions.
Rookie head coach?
Yep. He said the coach noted some teams still do signal coverages. And Ian Rappaport yesterday tweeted that Robert Kraft, walking out of a meeting with Roger Goodell, declined to stop and talk to reporters at the league meeting in Dallas and said, you know everything that you should know. So yesterday on his conference call with the Bengals media, Bill Belichick was asked about when he found out about the videotaping.
When were you first made aware of the complaint from the Bengals concerning the Patriots film crew in the game this past weekend that the Patriots released a statement concerning?
I guess it was sometime yesterday afternoon.
And what was your initial reaction to when the complaint came to your attention?
I had no idea what it was about. And then, you know, I got an explanation. I think the organization released, that explanation or something similar to that. That's really all I know about it.
All right.
Did you hear the part of the press conference, and I'm not lying, when he was on the conference call and he's like...
We have it here.
Okay.
Yeah.
After that. Talking about how they cheated all the time and then now they don't cheat anymore?
No, he didn't say that. Well, after
no, he did.
Well, here's what... I think this is what you're talking about. Is this where Belichick was asked whether or not he had spoken to the video staff? Here's what he said.
Have you spoken to anyone on the Patriots content team or anyone involved in the incident?
Yeah, I'm really focused on getting ready for the Bengals here. I think all that's
this
being handled.
The clip.
internally or, you know, however it's being handled. I don't know. Again, I have no involvement in this and no knowledge of it. And so I really don't have any idea.
No, this isn't it. He said,
this is good too, though.
Can tell you that, you know, we've never, as a coaching staff, and I personally have never viewed any video footage at all of anything that those production people have done, you know, other than what's shown on public television or something like that. But we don't have anything to do with what they do. So I really don't have much knowledge of the situation at all.
Okay.
No, he says at one point, we did everything under our power. We would push the envelope. And now since we've been caught, we don't do that anymore. That was part of the he was honest. And Mike's going to get it right now. But, yeah,
Is it in here? Is it in here?
No, he's getting it now.
Okay.
But, but during that, he said that we pushed the envelope, but since we've been caught, we try not to do that anymore.
Yeah.
He admits that they were cheating.
Well, he did back in, 2000? When was the Deflategate? 2015? 2016? Because remember the whole Mona Lisa veto press conference? He was even saying, you know, remember he made that joke about, you know, what are we talking about? You know, you can go and you can film it from anywhere in the stands for 80,000 people, but you just can't do it from a box. Yeah. That, you know, that's ridiculous. So he admitted it then.
No, this is...
2014, was it? Okay.
No, this is... he was honest yesterday. And yeah. He said that they used to cheat and quote-unquote,
they got
pushed
busted.
The envelope. And yeah. Then once they got busted, they kind of pulled back a little bit.
Yeah, that's something that he did back with
you don't have the clip, do you?
I can pull it up.
No, you don't have the clip now.
No, I do not.
Yeah, well,
Mike is
you failed.
Putting that in right there. But,
you failed. You failed me.
So, yeah, so from yesterday, I mean, it seems like they are going to get punished. And now the question is just... how much
they should vacate wins.
How much are they going to believe the story that they're giving them about this filming the do your job thing? And even if you believe everything that they say, you know, there's a whole lot of suspension of disbelief. And I think for me, the number one thing is that the scout was there and the scout knows better. And I believe that of everything might be the smoking gun, even if even more so than the article that came back in 2015 about Spygate, where it said if you were asked what you were doing, if you were caught, you would say you were filming a show for the Patriots. I think that having a scout there, and that's a detail that's buried in that Jeff Howe story, that guy knows all the rules because he does that for a living. He knows that you can't tape those sidelines. And it does seem, according to, because I remember Michael Hurley yesterday said that he would only, you know, be upset with the Patriots if the filming showed enough where you could see the coaches doing signals. And according to the people who have seen it and that article in The Athletic, it did. So it's almost like they really don't have any excuses. I heard somebody say yesterday, it's like having your hand caught in the cookie jar. And then once you're caught, you're saying, well, you know, it wasn't because I was hungry or I was going to eat a cookie. Just my hand happens to be in the cookie jar. It doesn't really matter at that point.
That's delicious.
All right. Here is here's the clip I think you're talking about.
I mean, we always try to do everything the right way.
That's a great question.
You know, look, we're competitive and we'll, you know, try to be competitive in every area. But, I mean, we don't knowingly, intentionally want to do anything that crosses the line. But since that's happened, I'd say we've tried to keep a good distance behind the line and not maybe take it as far as we would might have in the past. But I mean, it's never really fundamentally changed there.
And by the way, there's like I got a tweet here. Isn't 8 minutes of footage like two, maybe three plays? You have to remember the guy from the Bengals stopped him. We don't know how much footage was going to be filmed. Remember, the guy stepped in and stopped him and was like, hey, man, you're filming our sidelines, and cut it off. So you don't. That was just the first 8 minutes. And after he filmed him, said, you know, he wanted to get enough footage for proof to show that this guy was doing it. And then that's when he approached him. So, I mean, and by the way, 8 minutes is enough. Like, I mean, 8 minutes is a lot. And by the way, two, three plays. I don't know what games you're watching. 8 minutes is a lot of plays. I mean, that's probably at least back and forth from both teams. I don't understand, like, people at this point, And listen, I mean, I'll give them all the benefit of the doubt, but nothing adds up in this story. Just nothing adds up. And every day there's a different element that shows you that. And Bill Belichick may have had no idea this was going on. Maybe that's the case.
Yeah.
But they broke the rules. They admitted to breaking the rules. And their excuses are now falling flat on their face because everything's got holes in it.
Well, the theory is that Ernie Adams knows and that he protects Belichick so he can legitimately say, I didn't know what was going on. But when the headset comes on and the man with the striped shirt comes on and says, here's what's doing.
I feel like after everything yesterday, like everyone knows there might just be a penalty here and they'll move on from it. But again, we'll find out what the NFL has to say.
Well, they should vacate the season.
I will say this, Rich. Though, yesterday I was watching Max Kellerman, and he brought up the article that you had yesterday about this is what they were told to do if they get in trouble. And, like, he was hammering it to the fact that, like, you know, they got caught.
Dude, I'd love to come on here and defend all the stuff that they did and blah, blah, blah. God knows I have in the past. This is indefensible. I mean, every argument the Patriots are throwing out there, there's a million holes. So, I mean, they're going to get in trouble. And one of the things that's going to be interesting to find out is if it's a lenient penalty, that's obviously great news because it means that all the other owners aren't coming down on Goodell anymore like they did during Deflategate. But the one thing that
is owners are BS.
But as a Patriots fan, you got to be completely BS about all of this because if you believe everything the Patriots are saying, like every single word they're saying, then what they're telling you is that we were wildly incompetent, and our incompetency is going to cost us. And if it's a pick, then that sucks. If it's a fine, who cares?
When you were watching the thing last night, Saban Belichick, did this whole new story kind of pop through your head?
A little bit, yeah, it did. I mean, it was because, I mean, they're talking about, like, trying to get any competitive edge last night, but we'll get into that a little bit later on. Mm. But all right, but there's other stuff going on, maybe even more concerning stuff. There was an announcement that Tom Brady made yesterday that is just one more brick in the wall of evidence that he might not be here next year.
Yeah. He said he's leaving.
No, he didn't say that.
Well, he loves Buffalo. All right, so we'll be right back. .985 The Sports Hub. Be listening this morning at 6:50 for your chance to score a $99 Elements Massage gift card. Give the gift that keeps everyone happy, rejuvenated, and relaxed. Go to elementsmassage.com and purchase your holiday gift cards today. There's six people on the show. I asked to buy Girl Scout cookies. Only Dan O'Brien did.
Didn't we just do this?
Last year.
Really?
Yep.
Aren't they like, it sounds like they're, so it's a December, the end of December? For some reason, I thought we did this like in September or something.
Nope. I mean, after all I do for everyone's share. Well,
I mean, I bought a ton last time, but I didn't.
It was last year. They only do it once a year.
How much is a box?
Well, I'm not going to guilt you into it.
Well, no, I don't want to. I just don't have the cash right now.
It's $5. I thought you were in the bankroll.
Well, I am, but I just don't have cash.
I mean, all the money I've given to Rich's charities, and now there's can't buy a box of cookies.
I bought a ton of them.
Here we go.
I bought a ton of them.
Mm. Yeah, a year ago.
See, I didn't realize it was a year. So, I thought it was just happened.
So I give you $20 tomorrow, and you can give me four boxes.
No, I won't have it tomorrow.
Okay, I don't have cash with me. So if this is the once a year thing,
put
I will
me
buy
in
them.
For four boxes.
I can't. I gotta have the money.
Today?
Yeah, I gotta have the money, and I'm not allowed to solicit around the office.
We just solicited here, but that's fine.
No, but because you're my friend.
Oh, okay.
And the idea that no one besides Dan purchased any is a little disconcerting, especially from all the every charitable fund that I funded.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that you don't have cash on you, Rich.
I don't have enough to buy cookies.
You don't have $5?
I might have $5, so I can buy one box. Would you like me to buy one box now or buy a bunch when I can do it?
I can buy. I mean,
I'll buy a box.
I have a $100 bill, but I can't come home with that many cookies.
Well, no, you wouldn't be today.
I'd get in trouble.
It would be today. Nick just asked me if they take checks, not from you. Money or...
How about Venmo?
I don't know how that works.
Some sort of paper.
Oh, there's Girl Scouts at the grocery store when you go in there. They'll sit there and take your Venmo, and I'm like, ah, brilliant. Look at you enterprising.
Actually, I could care less if anyone buys the Girl Scout cookies.
No, you want it. I mean, listen, I
don't know what the money does, to be honest
Fred,
with you.
Fred, I seriously want the cookies.
All right, I'll bring it back tomorrow. All right, what's going on with the Patriots? I'm just joking. I'm kidding.
Okay, so first Tom Brady worked out a deal this offseason that at the end of the year, he would become a free agent. Then, as we know, he put his Chestnut Hill house on the market. It hasn't sold yet, has it? I think they dropped it down about $7 million. But then he liked an Instagram post of Antonio Brown's just days after Antonio took a flamethrower to Tom's friend and owner Robert Kraft. Now there's one more brick in the wall of evidence that Tom Brady may be leaving the Patriots after this season. So for 16 years, Brady was honorary co-chair of the Best Buddies Challenge. It's a great organization, an excellent event. It takes place every year at Harvard. I've been several years, and it ends with a bike ride in Hyannis. However, it was announced yesterday that Tom is stepping down from his post and passing the leadership baton to the event's current co-chairs, Joseph Kennedy III and Fieri, who's there every single year.
Fieri just like rides a motorcycle. He's like, yeah, I can't be pedaling all this way.
You can think he's a douche. You can't not like Guy Fieri.
I didn't say I don't like
Guy
Fieri.
I'm not saying you don't.
I don't want to meet him because I think I'd like him, but he's
probably
a huge, he's a massive dude.
I mean, that is true.
I mean, I shouldn't say he's a douche. He's one of the corniest human beings on the planet.
That's better. Douche is completely different. You're right. He is extremely corny.
I don't want to we had a perfect interview with him where he couldn't figure out that we were screwing with him. And I've told you on several occasions I don't want to have him on again because I know I'd like him.
And Joe, where did I recommend you go when you went to Vegas?
Guy Fieri's.
I went straight to Guy Fieri's last time.
That's ironic.
No, it was legitimately good.
Oh, I walked by it.
There's a million places in Vegas to eat.
But it's ironic and it's good. Put it that way. It's for both reasons.
I didn't expect it to be good. When you guys went behind my back. I'm just kidding.
Those trash
but I saw you when you guys went to the thing. Those trash can hunches were disgusting.
It was delicious.
I love them.
Yeah, you might love them. The presentation is disgusting.
Oh, it's totally disgusting. And it's the sound it makes coming out of the can is gross. It goes like...
Yeah, it's like a cake of... what it appeared to be is like a... Not like a... What is it? A flan? Like where they like of just like
sure.
Cheese and chips?
Right now, I'm not calling him like Julia Child or some like famous chef because it's kind of tough to mess up nachos, but they were delicious. Mm. I'll give him that. So
I don't know if I've been anywhere where I went. These nachos are very horrible.
It's true. And on top of that, he is handing the new co-chair assignment over to Julian Edelman and Jason Tatum. Now, this, once again, as I was saying, just seems to be more stuff that makes you think we may only have a couple more games with Tom Brady as the quarterback of the Patriots. Now, Tommy Curran yesterday was talking about this on NBC Sports Boston, and, you know, he thinks that this is also, you know, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but it's definitely something that makes you open your eyes a little bit. And here is Tommy Curran talking about that situation.
Instead of like getting into the locations, because so many things are going to happen between now and March, let's think a little bit about the why of it. And I think one of the most compelling whys of it is you have a quarterback who's probably going to trend to probably having about a 25 touchdown, 13 pick regular season. Team might go 13-3. They could go 11-5. You know, we don't know what the final result will be, but I don't think he wants to go out like that. And I know that we understand that he wants to prove doubters wrong. And if there was an opportunity to prove wrong anyone who didn't want to pay him when he was 43 or 44, maybe he'd like to go to an opportunity where he could play that team again.
Mm. That's interesting, because now Tommy Curran seems to be on team not retiring, but playing somewhere else. And it actually sounds there, playing somewhere else in the AFC, at least the way he was speaking.
I watched that segment, and they dropped the Miami Dolphins bomb on there, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Well, because, I mean, there's the whole... it's a very funny take.
Chad O'Shea, Brian Flores.
Brian Flores.
Yeah, but there's no talent around him.
Well, Antonio Brown. That's the fun take.
Okay,
you
can bring a receiver in, but, I mean, they've gutted that organization.
Well, don't you think that if they knew they were getting Tom Brady and one of the requirements of getting Tom Brady was to make drastic changes and big moves, they would do that?
That never works in the NFL, though.
And you might be right, but that doesn't mean that they wouldn't try.
To try to remake a team in the offseason never works.
I agree. Miami seems a little far-fetched. There's teams that are better suited for him. No, I was thinking, I mean, the Bears, the Chargers.
The Bears
and Chargers are the two that make the most sense to me.
Yeah, the Chargers, he's in L.A. There seems to be some talent around there. But with the Dolphins, I mean, you can't... I mean, look at the Jets. They paid an assload of money all over the place for people the last two seasons.
Well, Fred, this
they
also
can't put it together.
This also comes on the heels of a report that came out yesterday that once again, Nick Caserio, who is officially going to be a free agent after this. Remember, there was the Texans trying to get him. That he is going to be pursuing opportunities outside of the Patriots. On top of that, it's now this seems to happen every year, but maybe this one has a little more significance because of Tom Brady's future. Josh McDaniels, once again, his name has been thrown out there as somebody who's going to be looking for opportunities. So, I mean, if you have a situation. Now, Josh McDaniels, I don't know. Would he go to Miami with Brian Flores as the head coach? No, but I believe he would go to any of those other two teams that I was talking about, Chargers, and maybe you get rid of Nagy. I don't know if that would be the situation.
But are the Chargers going to fire their coach, though?
Probably.
I would think so. They have justification.
Yeah.
I don't know. They have justification over 1 year. I mean, I wouldn't pull the trigger on firing that guy. So
if it means selling out that new stadium, finally, because they've got no buzz, and getting Tom Brady and Josh McDaniels, they would do it.
I know. I'd much rather have who they have now than Josh McDaniels.
Yeah, I'd throw Vegas into the mix, too. I just drove by that stadium the other day. Like,
Brady's not going to play in Vegas under Mark Davis?
Yes.
You think he's going to play under Mark Davis?
I'm just throwing it out there, man. Yeah.
Bobby.
Oh, Gruden and Brady together would be the best. He doesn't like Brady that much.
Dunno.
He loves Peyton.
He doesn't like Carr, though. He's not a Carr fan, even though he's kind of turned him.
He doesn't like Carr. He likes sweet old Vans. Hey, look at me.
Oh, by the way, McDaniels is the favorite to be the next head coach of the Cowboys right now.
Oh, man. And don't do it. And just for McDaniel's sake, don't do it, man.
I don't know how many job offers he's going to get anymore.
A lot. And, Fred, I said this before, as much as damning as it was for him to leave him at the altar with the Colts, there is such a shortage of good coaches.
Their offense sucks right now. Hey, where's Wallach?
He's not here, and neither is his mom.
I want to rest my head between those boobies.
I know you like that. I know you're a big fan.
Russell.
Yes,
I slap my head between those heavy knockers.
Thank you, Mark Davis. I appreciate you checking in.
Is she taking care of him? Because I'll take care of her. I need to go to sleep. Give me a nice boob to lay my head on.
That's not a very nice thing to say without him here to defend himself.
Hey, he's all dizzy. Hey, Walk, where am I? Oh, here. Got my head between your mom's monster can.
And finally, someone makes a good point. Says, why does Dallas not ever come up as a destination for Brady? He's got a great O-line, one of the best.
Right.
Ezekiel Elliott, Cooper. And if you got
Brady $30 million a year instead of Dak Prescott, wouldn't
you? That's right. I would take a 42.
No, that's actually a good take. Because if McDaniels goes there, you get Brady there, we got a 2-3 year run.
So what do you do with Dak Prescott? Two-three year run?
Yes.
Yeah, you do.
So
yeah.
I get rid of, how old's Dak Prescott? 25?
Whatever, he's not good. He's got great numbers.
He wants $40 million a year, Fred.
They got Amari Cooper, Zeke, all that offensive line, defensive players.
I'm not getting rid of a promise.
He wants $40 million for at least 5 years.
Do you know how protected Brady would be on that team?
I understand that, but I also know he's old and not as good as
You run the football with Zeke Elliott consistently. 30 times a game.
Fine, you could do that now.
With who? Who's running the ball for the Patriots?
No. You could do that with Dallas now.
Because Prescott's not the answer right now.
Well, they also have terrible coaching staff.
That's why Josh McDaniels.
And Dak's unrestricted, right? I know he's been playing for a contract. He tried to get the $40 million at the beginning of the year, but he wants the biggest contract ever for a quarterback.
I mean, he's got the numbers. It's just he's not producing. No, 6-7? Come on.
People with his numbers get paid $1 zillion. Yeah. They don't get the highest contract of all time. They shouldn't, at least. But then again, it's the NFL.
I don't mind Saggers.
Thank you.
And I think Jerry Jones wants that glory hole. So why not?
Listen, of course he wants the glory hole.
Oh, that's right. I don't mind an old lady's Saggers.
I want me some glory hole.
All right. So we will return in just a moment.
Kutcher and Rich.
Call number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a $99 Elements Massage gift card. Give the gift that keeps everyone happy, rejuvenated, and relaxed. Go to elementsmassage.com to purchase your holiday gift cards today. Have you? I think you got the invitation to be on Cameo too, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. And we both did not respond. But Cameo is a service that you can get like celebrities in, they do varying lengths of videos. That, like, because I was like, oh, it might be funny to get my daughter something from Jersey Shore. Yeah, baby.
You mentioned Cameo.
Yeah, well, it's just Cameo is a service where it's just the guys from Cameo.
How could that
ask
be?
You for money.
It's just the five members of Cameo.
Yeah, they just ask you for money.
You just, like, pay them to go.
Yeah.
Hey, Dave. Ow.
It's like at a Mexican restaurant when the mariachi band comes up, you pay them to go away. But,
right, it's like a hostage thing where pay us and we'll stop calling you.
But if you go to Cameo, it's some of the people that are on there are just. But the first of all, it's $1,500 for Norm MacDonald.
Okay, well, that's him doing what you or I would have done. Because I remember we were joking. It was like, we should just tell them we'll do it for $1,000.
Yeah.
It's just because, like, who's going to do it?
But, like, the Snooks, because I thought it might be funny to get my daughter one.
Yeah.
So it's like $250, and they have examples of what they do. It's like 20 seconds long. At least if you get, like, Jim Norton's character, Chip Chipperson, at least he does, like, 3 minutes, and it's $69.
Wow.
Yeah, well, that's why he does it. But a lot of crap.
Who's the most expensive Jersey Shore member?
Snooks. Because it's only Snooki, Ronnie, and then Angelina. So Angelina is $100. Ronnie's... If Ronnie's like 150 and Snooks is like.
I heard Snooks quit.
She did.
She's out.
She's done.
I have to pray that this is a contract ploy.
Oh.
Because it starts next year with Snooks, but then she says she's not going to participate anymore. But I have to.
Because aren't there two members of Jersey Shore that you have to have? It's Pauly D and it's Snooki, right? Like, I mean, they
Ronnie's
have to be
pretty
part of
funny.
It. But nobody cares about Ronnie isn't a household name. Pauly D is like everyone. You think Jersey Shore. Name one member of Jersey Shore. Pauly D is the first one.
No,
it's Situation, okay. they did something with that Situation. Yeah, I thought he would have been one of the guys.
The Switch is now sober, so it's kind of like.
Well, old. That's the problem is that
Ronnie's now the a inspiration. Hot mess, though. Ronnie's like a.
Ronnie loves to cry, which is very funny.
He is a hot mess.
But he's sober now, and then the Situation's sober, and Vinny is, like, won't really drink.
Vinny, yeah, Vinny's, like, doesn't drink and, like, is all about the keto diet.
Yeah, and then Pauly D is, he's not up to, like, shenanigans.
Pauly D's at least, like, the fun, yeah, he's the fun one.
Yeah, but he's not up to, like, shenanigans.
That's because everyone's boring.
Pauly D is loaded. That's the other thing, too. That guy has, he's the one guy in all of them who has, like, real money.
Saw his very, stuff everywhere in Vegas, by the way.
Yeah.
And he's everywhere. Very classy, too, the way he spent his money. He has an all-white Rolls Royce, and he has a big gold chain with a Jesus head.
Must mean he loves Jesus, who I think said something about rich men not being able to make it into heaven. And
well,
something about
if that's
them.
The case, then I don't want to be there.
Yeah, you're right about Snooki. She's probably, her and Pauly D are probably
Well, it's the relationship between JWoww and Snooki that kind of stirs the pot. But
now JWoww's single, I believe.
No, right? She's with 34. She's with 24. She's with, she has a boyfriend who's.
That dude's just tried out for WWE, by the way.
Yeah, and I hope he fails. Because the way he was all over Angelina, I didn't care for that. But in the new season, you get to see Angelina's wedding. She did not like the toast that Snooki and JWoww did. She did not like it.
Do you watch Rich?
I don't. I haven't watched it since the first season. No, I watched a little bit of the second season.
My daughter,
it was great.
My daughter and I have seen every season at least twice. Mm. That's it.
Have you ever been to the t-shirt shop up there or ever gone for a
ride? I've never been
there?
To the Jersey Shore. Mm.
That's Wallach's territory.
Well, no, I've been to Margate, like where he goes. Well, he doesn't go to the Jewish area. See, the only time I go to the Jewish area, which is Margate. And that's got its own scene. All right, no commercials here, just the headlines. And then we'll talk to Ted Johnson, and he can tell us about how the Patriots are dirty, 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 dirty cheaters.
We'll be right back.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six World Major Marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at Boston Scores. .org/Noah.
Hey, the 82 preseason is in the books and it's finally time for the real season. So don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, every opening tip to all those buzzer beaters, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and much more. And if you're new to sports betting, it's super easy to get started. Try betting on something simple like a team to win. Go to the app, select your team, and place your first bet. That's simple. And here's something to sweeten the deal. For new customers, bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Again, use the code SPORTSHUB. And if you're a new customer, you'll get $200 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. That's only on DraftKings.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Visit the president of Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketball terms.